What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, May the 4th be with you. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
May the 4th be with you, Greg.
Mike, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, Greg. Yesterday we had a really special X-Cast, and it was an interesting one for me. Of course, my first time with a nice, solid, hard-hitting interview. Not what I wanted out of my first Phil experience, but something that you had to do. And so it took a lot. It took a lot out of me on that one. I didn't think we were going to go that way, but we had to.
If you have no idea what Mike's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe, the Kind of Funny X-Cast is live with its Phil Spencer interview. If you haven't watched the video, I doubt you've been able to dodge the news, because this is going to be an interesting Kind of Funny Games Daily. Pretty much all the news stories are pulled from your conversation with Phil. And in our infinite wisdom yesterday, which really I think was blessing, he was kind of like, yo, we should probably just use Games Daily tomorrow to be a debrief on exactly what went on with that interview and stuff, because it was so incredible. There were so many tidbits in it, and it was such a fantastic conversation piece, let alone something we don't see a lot, that we're like, yeah, that probably makes the most sense. And lo and behold, yes, I think it's what? I was scrolling through every story pretty much, except for one, I think. We have six stories right now, and all the way through five. It'll be a Unity layoff at six. Is the only one you didn't cover in the X-Cast ahead of time. If you've missed it so far, we, of course, will break it down and talk about it. But before we do any of that, I'll remind you, of course, that this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show by writing in for free with your questions, comments, and concerns about the day's news over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then you can tune in to watch us record the show live for free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on demand over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Of course, all of that is well and good and free. You want the premium experience. If you want the best Kind of Funny has to offer, if you want to support all 11 of us as we continue to make the best fucking content we can, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you, of course, could get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. You could get the ability to watch us record the podcasts that aren't embargoed live as we record them, like this afternoon's PS I Love You XOXO. And, of course, you could get dozens and dozens of monthly exclusive programming like Greg Way, Remember Blank, and so much more, only on patreon.com/kindoffunny. If you want another way to support us, of course, use the Epic creator code KINDOFFUNNY when you're checking out of the Epic Game Store or buying Fortnite, Rocket League, Bucks, all of that jazz whenever you're on a console of your choice. Housekeeping for you. Later today, we have a new episode of the Kind of Funny Games Cast going live, and it's our Star Wars Jedi Survivor spoiler cast. That's right. It's me, Boss Baby, a.k.a. CEO Junior Barrett Courtney, and Big Kev Dog, talking about that there Jedi game. Cal's story, all gloves off, our favorite parts, all spoilers. If you haven't beaten the game, don't worry. This isn't a glass of ice-cold milk. It won't go bad anytime soon. It'll be there when you want it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and the Gamescast podcast feed. Lakers head says, spoiler cast already? It just came out, lol. People already beat it! A lot of people wrote in about this. A lot of people are real Star Wars fans. Lakers head.
We can't all just be only Pikmin fans.
And I just fucking said it's not milk. It won't go bad.
It's not gonna go bad.
When you beat it, it'll be there for you. God damn it,
Sorry, we wanted a Jedi spoiler cast before Zelda came out and took over the fucking world.
Later today is still the May the 4th, and the team is going to be playing through Jedi Survivor over on our streams. We have all sorts of fun surprises, including Andy Wan Kenobi teaching Nick the Force, and where in the world is Kev2D2? Want to hear Mike Baca, the truckie, do his patented Tahoe scream? Tune in to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right after this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily, or check it out later, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Greg, that's all well and good, but we also missed one very important piece of housekeeping. May the 4th stream. Going to be exciting and fun. But something goes down before that that really matters.
You're right.
Come on, Greg.
Blessing. Don't blame me. Blessing.
Tell the people what's going down.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, after Kind of Funny Games Daily, but before May the 4th, KFW, Kinda Mania is happening. The end of our season that you funded over on patreon.com/kindafunny. Of course, this is the granddaddy of them all, Kinda Mania. The one, the only Johnny Ace refuses to stand down even though he wasn't invited to this pay-per-view and has a mystery opponent. Mike finally squares off against Panda Finn, the Kinda Funny community member who clawed his way out of the basement to be a competitor. Then, of course, the former commish, Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed, will take on Hideo Kojima and Paris Lilly in a triple threat to crown the Kinda Funny champion. And then our main event, your Twitch champion, Alana Pierce, unstoppable in the entire run of KFW, will face off against JNW's own Joey Noel in a title-for-title ladder match.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a really good
one. This one's going to be a really good one, Greg, of course. It has been a great second season. Great midday mayhem so far. Cannot wait for Kinda Mania.
Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining, who, of course, made this happen over on patreon.com/kindafunny. And today we're brought to you by Honey and Rocket Money, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen!
Thank you. Now, as I said, 5 out of 6 stories are pulled from the Kinda Funny X-Cast, because that's how well it was. And we wanted to use this as, let's talk about that Phil Spencer interview. So there's a few different ways to go before we even get into it. Again, you can watch the X-Cast there. We're going to go through the news stories that people have broken out of our own content. But before we jump into that, I want to start at the top. And Mike, obviously you're getting compliments all over the internet right now. Everyone thinks you did such a great job. As your mentor, you did such an amazing, fucking fantastic job with this interview. I want you to know that. All right. I want you to know that, like, we've, you know,
thanks, homie.
I've been lucky enough to see you start as just some weird kid outside of a TwitchCon panel when I met you. The interviews you did with us, the stuff you've done on your own channel, the streams, the blah, 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 blah. You know, we started the X-Cast with you, Gary, as the idea. Mm-hmm. Then we brought in Alana. Then eventually she had to leave. We brought in Paris. And it's been a show we do because it's a passion project for you. It's a passion project for our audience. We know that there's an Xbox audience out there. And in the same way, I feel that Podcast Beyond episode 150 was me, Colin, and Clements stepping up and be like, yo, we know Roper got laid off, and we know there's people who have come before us, and yada, yada. This is what it is. This is the brand. This is the logo. This is what we're making. This is such a amazing coming out party for what you guys have built with this show. Because, you know, every week I'm there listening, I'm talking about it, I'm having a great time. And I've said, I think a couple weeks ago it was a specific episode that you, Gary, and Paris's back and forth, your repertoire together, right, really reminded me so much of what I think was my golden age of Beyond, right, in that 150 onward period. And so to see you guys suddenly get that today, to see the numbers, right, I checked right before we went live, and the back end on our side of the YouTube as creators, you're over 70,000 views on this episode, which of course is not what we do this for. You can look at a lot of our other videos that don't get that. But for a show that we have been putting time, effort, money into for so long, to see you have an episode where the entire Xbox community has come to it, the entire video game industry is watching it and listening to it and reporting on it. Congratulations.
Thanks, Greg. That means a lot. And shout out to the whole entire team. I know he's coming out.
I'm so proud of you, Mike, for fucking reals, dude. Listen to it on the plane.
Thanks, Tim.
And you're like, damn.
Of course, thank you to you and Tim for believing in myself, Gary, Alana, and Paris all this time, and for the Kinda Funny community for allowing us into their homes and giving us a chance to talk Xbox. It has been awesome to be a part of the Xbox community, and it was a big deal, right? Like, getting Phil on the show has always been the dream.
Yeah.
It has always been the goal. Of course, it was tough circumstances here, right? We planned this out way before any of the kind of Xbox drama ever happened, so we got to day of, and it's like, oh, man, we're going to have a tough one here with the big guy where that wasn't the goal, right?
So how long had this one been gestating? Because that's, even as you're one of your bosses or whatever, I know we had this conversation forever.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of, we want to get him in the studio for the first time and this, that, and the other. So when it finally popped up that it was happening on the calendar, again, like you said before, the CMA blocked it, before Redfall reviews are out, I think even before we had the code, right? Yeah, we had this book or whatever.
This was, before we got Redfall, before the CMA, right when we were during the week of the CMA blocking the announcement of course, Xbox and this Activision acquisition. So, there was, hey, what are we going to talk about? Okay, it's probably going to be positive with Phil. We'll look forward to the summer and what's next. Of course, Red falls right on the horizon. So I don't think any of us came into the idea thinking, oh, we're going to have a hard conversation right now with him.
Sure. And over here in the Twitch chat, Evan something says, I'd have been shitting my pants, not going to lie. That's what I'd like to talk to you about. I think, you know, you are in the hot seat there, right? As you are the host, you're the first question out of the blocks. You're talking to Phil, who, of course, is a huge name in the industry, who is a internet friend of ours, yours, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I don't have you talked to him in person? Like,
Only once.
Yeah,
only
see, once. So I'm trying to set the stage that it's not like... This is like us fucking around with John Drake on a bad day, right? Like, this is Phil, who like we have a fun relationship with, but it's not a budding friendship where you're going fishing or whatever. I've been there a few times in my career, right? Where, you know, usually what we do in video games is fun. Oh, tell me about the thing. Tell me about this stuff. What about that? I've been there where you have to ask the tough question. Mm-hmm. And I know that for me, Greg Miller, with a degree in journalism, since the fourth grade, knew he wanted to do this kind of stuff, yada, yada, yada. Even for me, when you're settling in and you're out the gate and you have to address the bad news head on, that's what I would say gets my heart going a little bit. Mm. Like, you know, not like where I'm going. What was that like for you, right? Like, again, you're finally having Phil on this show. You're finally getting to talk to him on camera about something. You're not this decade-long relationship with him. Where was your head at to start that show?
All over the place, Greg. Truly and honestly, I mean, we had a good flow and an idea of what we wanted last Friday when we really locked in, like, hey, he's going to be here. It's good to go. I think me and Pear started to talk about, like, what is the flow? Always our X Factor, Gary Witt, is going to be a part of that. So, you know, we always planned for that. And then when it came to day of, the flow had been changed, right? The idea of what we were going to look for, what we wanted to talk about, had completely been altered. And, you know, I do have to give a big shout out to Andy, who wrote me moments before, and he's like, just take a deep breath. And I remember I heard the music go, and I was like, okay, breathe for a second, because I know I wanted to talk about it, and we had to talk about it, right? And so, yeah, to get it out, of course, it feels like jumbled soup coming out of your mouth when you say it to him, right? But it's like, hey, let's talk about the, you know, possible block of this acquisition. Let's get into Redfall, right? And you want to articulate it the best you can, but he knows we're going to talk about it. So as long as I could alley-oop him, I knew he was going to come and at least deliver on what we wanted to hear. And, you know, in some of our eyes, it's what we wanted. We knew exactly what he was going to say, PR speak, right? But we also got a real deal Phil here, like a different 100%. Phil than I was expecting, right? I didn't think we were going to get grumpy Phil, as he said. And we got that the whole episode. And I think him and the team took this one on the chin, and they have a lot to answer for, and they have a lot to win back the hearts and minds of Xbox gamers and the video game world, right? And we're going to talk about that today in this post show.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was what was, well, I mean, if I was going to say not surprising, but the surprising thing for me again, and you guys called, Gary gives him compliments, gives him the flowers on the show for it. But again, as an outsider and somebody who's been doing this a long time, the fact they didn't cancel, because again, like, mm-hmm. I want to, for the inside baseball of that, remember, we didn't announce that until yesterday. And it had been planned way before then. It was just like, oh, well, let's not do that. And then I think when they saw the Redfall stuff was coming, like, okay, let's not announce it. But announcing it, who gives a shit? Not canceling it.
Yeah.
Like, I will not name names. I have had the opposite experience in this industry where something is planned, awesome, it's going to be great, something bad happens, and those people, which is 100% they're right, that mm-hmm. was not what they were coming on. I've talked about this on many a Greg Way, available on patreon.com/kindoffunny, right? That, like, so much of video games is marketing and PR, and you have a marketing and PR timeline. And so when you have a, they're going to come on to talk about this thing on this show, and right before it, something horrible happens that changes the message, you get that person out of that situation so they don't do it. But as Gary pointed out, not only did Phil do that yesterday, he showed up, he took it on the chin. And again, what I appreciate so much is, and it also breaks your heart, because I watched it live and then I listened to it again in the car today, is, again, yeah, how defeated he is, but how much he's taking it on.
Yeah.
At no point did he pivot to the team, did he pivot and dunk on Arcane. He was very much like, these are my failings. And, like, there's people saying, fire Phil, I understand that. I'm going to say this, but you don't have to listen because I know we're not delivering it. None of this matters, especially the showcase, until you get the controller in your hands and you're having fun. Like, he said a bunch of really poignant things in there, but, like, hard things to say. And then definitely, I mean, again, I don't know Phil incredibly well. I've played Sea of Thieves with him, no big deal. But it was that thing of, like, that was real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think I was talking about this recently with a bunch of different people, but stick with me. It's going to sound like I'm going to a more negative place, even though this is negative. Kevin Smith just spent a month in a mental institution, right? And then he came out and he did this thing with people, and he did a 35-minute presentation you should all go watch on YouTube, people's YouTube, right? And it's just him talking to the camera. And it's very much him talking about, he had a break with reality because he lost his authentic self. He, you know, kind of like his on-air persona, like, hey, kids, I'm Kevin Smith. Like, he let that guy take control for too long, and when he turned around and tried to find himself, he couldn't find it anymore and kind of lost it. And he's like, I gotta go get help. And he, thank God, did. Everybody, if you were struggling with mental health issues, go get help. I'm not saying that Phil's losing touch with reality. I'm saying I've never seen Phil on camera be that real. And maybe I have, and it's just always been the positive Phil. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I talk about myself, and people talk about me and Greg Miller as a presenter and a performer, and it's like, yes. Am I always presenting this hard and trying to hit say every word when I'm in the car with Barrett on the ride home? No, of course not. But this is still me just dialed up, right? And so I think we see the real Phil dialed up in interviews and stuff and hanging out with him, but to see him dialed down in a bad place, like, it sounds like I'm complimenting him for being upset, but it is that thing of, like, I'm complimenting us on being able to share that. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people wouldn't share that with us, and I think that's what is special about Phil and what Xbox is trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm very thankful for Phil committing to this, right? Like they, like you said, they easily could have backed out, and I wouldn't have batted an eye. I would have understood and would have kept the show going into the same conversation we were going to have, right? But the guy stepped up and had a real conversation with us, and I think we've all praised Phil during his tenure over at Xbox of being real, right? Yeah. Being honest and transparent with us, or doing his best to do that as the head of a company, right? But he came on yesterday, and it was impressive to see, oh, this is the real Phil, and he is not pleased with where this team is at right now and heading in to some big-time months, years of what Xbox needs to do to get a foothold back in the games industry.
Well, let's start going through the news. We'll continue to obviously give you the inside baseball sides of it and talk some stuff here, but we'll start with number one. Did we already do the Rope Report jingle?
Yes, we did.
Number one, Phil Spencer apologizes for disappointing Redfall and claims Xbox was expecting better reviews. This is Andy Robinson over at VGC. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has apologized for the launch state of its latest big first-party release, Redfall, and claimed that developer Arkane Austin will work on improvements for the game. The first major Xbox exclusive from Bethesda launched this week with a number of technical issues and has generally been reviewed poorly. Gaming aggregate scores of 62 Xbox Series X/S and 58 on PC on Metacritic. Addressing Redfall's disappointing reception in a new interview with Kinda Funny Games, Microsoft's head of gaming claimed the platform holder did not expect such a negative reception to the game, citing internal mock reviews which allegedly suggested it could have received much higher scores. Yeah, he was talking about being double digits.
Yeah, that was a very interesting moment there of, like, you know, Gary asked him, hey, you know, you're a gigantic multi-million dollar company. You have people checking this game out beforehand. Did you not see this coming? And from what they expected, I think they thought higher of this game for sure.
He also suggested that delaying the game further, it was originally due out in 2022, would not have solved its biggest issues. Quote, "There's nothing more difficult for me than disappointing the Xbox community," Spencer said. "I've been a part of it for a long time. I obviously work on Xbox. I'm head of the business. I have a lot of friends and get a lot of feedback. And just to kind of watch the community lose confidence, be disappointed. I'm disappointed. I'm upset with myself. We do mock reviews for every game we launch, and this is double digits lower than where we thought we would be with the game, with this game through those. That's one of the disappointing things. We would never strive to launch a game that we thought was going to review in the low 60s. It's not part of our goals. If you look at our review scores over the past year, and this is not a defense at all," which he said many a time when he was like I was like, "Hey, I'll eat shit, don't worry, but this is how it is. I think the teams have done a much better job in upping the level of quality of the games we've shipped, .. And this game was significantly below our internal metrics compared to where it actually reviewed. But that's not obvious to anybody but us, and we have to own that," end quote.
Yeah, I like how real he got there. I mean, this clearly is not what they thought, but also the conversation has shifted, right? Of like, why didn't you delay it, right? But this is a much larger problem than 30 frames versus 60 frames. We talked about it in our review, and clearly everyone is seeing that. There was a core issue wrong with this game, and the team over at Xbox didn't identify that soon enough to really help fix the problem, right? He talked about, hey, we got there late.
Yep.
We brought in different teams from the coalition that were really, you know, good with what we can help provide on the engine side of things, but it was already too late to try to get that. There's a massive core issue with the game that's really needed to be addressed.
And again, you know, I think Gary obviously poignantly put it on this, and Phil says he's going to steal it. The idea that, you know, there are failures aren't just failures. They aren't you failing. They're just something on the path to success, right? Failures are a part of success. And that was what was interesting is that, like, even though we're post-morting your show was kind of a post-mort on Redfall in many ways. And one of the things Phil talked about, right, was when you go in on these acquisitions and Xbox buys a developer or buys a company that has a bunch of developers, there are projects that are already going, and then there are projects that are in pre-production or early stages, right? And he cited the fact that Starfield was more early, so they had more going on with that, whereas he said here, Redfall was more further along, right? Mm-hmm. And that he wishes, you know, that he says we were probably, or we were two hands off with it. Mm-hmm. By the time, you know, you don't worry about it as much because it's already going, doing its thing, and then you get there, and then it should have been a, oh, shoot, well, how do we get it to 60 frames on this? And they poignantly said on the show, right? Like, well, the conversation with the coalition, with Rare, right, to get it to 60 frames, like, that should have started last fall, and that didn't. That started way later than that, and that's why it's not there, even though it's on a timeline now, and blah, 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 blah. Like, that I found to be a fascinating look behind the curtain of acquiring these studios, and, all right, cool, you're already on this project. Just make it for Xbox. Just make it for PC. We'll talk to you later about it. And you come in, you're like, oh, shoot, there's issues here that we didn't know, we couldn't see, and we couldn't figure out, you know?
Yeah, that's the big conversation I wish, if we had more time, we would dive a little bit deeper into. Of course, acquiring ZeniMax and Bethesda, right, has been a massive step forward for this team. But also, we know that we're still in the early years of this acquisition, right? And the team early on said, we're going to let them operate independently, right? We're still over them. We're here to help. But, like, Todd and that team, they're going to market their games. They're going to work on their games. We're here, right? But clearly, we've now seen maybe doing that isn't the way. Or, hey, we're still in the early stages of starting to bridge the gap and bring both of these teams together for more oversight and insight from each and everyone, right? And yeah. So I think that was a major one there that I would like to dive deeper in is, was that a failure, right? Should you have from day one gone, everybody's underneath me, I'm looking at all of y'all no matter what? Or is it, hey, we're still doing that right now, Mike. We're trying to start to bring that. And this one was already going on, you know? It was too late.
It was another, you know, salient point he made, right, of when these studios get bought and they get brought in and they're already working on a game, expectations immediately go from, okay, cool, whatever, Arcane Austin is making some mm-hmm. weird multiplayer vampire shooter to Xbox has an exclusive vampire shooter, you know what I mean? Like, yep. This is a first party game, this will be raged in the console wars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Where it is an interesting thing that if Xbox hadn't bought ZeniMax, right, and Redfall launches just like this, who cares? Like, you know what I mean? I think there would have been conversation about it, there would have been reviews about it, but it wouldn't have been this canary in the coal mine, Xbox is off the rails, blah, 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 like
it
that.
It would have just been the Arcane fans who've, like, already been sold on, like, Dishonored and Prey, really only being the only ones talking about it.
Well, I would have also argued that, you're right. There's that case of it, and they would have been mad that it's not Arcane or Prey, or, you know, Dishonored or Prey.
Right.
And that would have been their thing, and then there would have been new people coming in, like, I don't understand what this is. People are like, oh, no, well, it's not what we liked them for. They should have done this, blah, 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 blah.
And, of course, it's tough timing, right? Like, we are now hitting the next phase of the true next generation becoming the current gen of, we're expecting $70 games to take advantage of the hardware. Yep. This is a next-gen only title, right? And so you look at it and go, okay, this is where we demand the best. And this is when they wanted to start shifting the tide to Forza, into Starfield, and beyond. But, of course, you don't hit the mark on the first one. And that's now, we have a rough start to getting out of the gate early on here.
We're going to keep doubling down all these stories, but I want to bring in the one, the only, Nathan Choquette, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFG, just like you can, and says, what's good, y'all? So Phil Spencer apologized about Redfall disappointing Xbox fans, but I had a couple questions. Number one, is there a need for public apologies in this day and age? I feel like most reasonable people understand that when a game performs poorly in critical reviews, the devs and everyone involved aren't celebrating and are likely feeling really bad about the result of their hard work as well. Although an apology from Phil is very thoughtful, do you think it's necessary in cases like this? 100%. 1,000%. And the reason being is that I've talked about this so many different times, and I always try to apply Kind of Funny logic to big corporations, right? But it's the fact that when you are just the big corporation, you quickly become EA, you quickly become siloed off, you quickly become the most hated company in the world, you quickly become Ubisoft, and nobody knows what the fuck's going on. There's all this like, to humanize any of this is to speak to your audience. Well, no matter the size of your business, I think if you want to be a successful business, you should treat it as much as you can like a small business and have that personal relationship with people. And so I was shocked, and I said shocked very seriously and point. I am shocked to this day that Arcane Twitter accounts, Xbox, Phil's, the game itself of Redfall, nothing was said publicly about any of this until Phil was on this show. When that fucking show ended yesterday, and I came out here and was hugging you and telling you what a great job you did. My question to them and then to you was like, is this exclusive? Like, I don't understand. Is Phil doing the rounds right now? Is he about to have an X-Cast or a McCaffrey cast or whatever they call it? Are they going to do this? And like, you're like, no, it's just the timing of how this worked out. It's like, that's awesome for us. And I'm glad we can help, be the platform for that speech. But like, I think, like, think about how fast Jedi Survivor had a statement up. Like, yeah, sorry, shit sucks, but here's what we're doing to fix it. And granted, Redfall's problems, as Phil pointed out, aren't necessarily technical, right? And it was like, we could delay it, but the creative vision wasn't what we wanted or what they wanted. So what are you going to do with that? I'm still like, I'm surprised there hasn't been a mea culpa on the Redfall thing of like, we hear you, audience. This is what our plan is here. 60 frames will be out before August, some kind of thing. But like, the fact that it's been all quiet on the Western Front, I think, works against everyone in this situation. Nathan, you say, most reasonable people understand that. Give me the one, Barrett. Most video game fans are not reasonable people. I don't know. Have you looked at the comments on any video or been part of the discourse? Like, that ain't happening. And so for everything that Xbox's identity has been, they needed to say something. Phil needed to say something. This isn't a PlayStation who I think, can really... I was going to throw Destruction All-Stars under the bus there, but I guess there wasn't as much hype for that and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm, like... Mm-hmm. There isn't a great analog for me right now with that for them not. But I mean, even I guess when like the network went down, you need to say something here. Yes, public apologies matter for what we do here, unless you want to just go be EA. And I like a lot of EA games. I'm not talking shit, but I mean, you want to just be, we are a corporate silo. We are a building.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, I think it goes both ways, right? Like, would we have gamers in the community? Of course, we're going to cry out about this, but in 2 weeks from now, would we have just moved on, right? And now this team coming out here having this conversation with us in an interview and now being all over the place, reignite the flame again, right? Now this is going to go on for another 2 weeks of conversation until June, really, where they can prove us wrong, right?
It's tough. If I'm Xbox, if I'm Phil, I want this conversation to be the one for the next 2 weeks, not or till June. Not the conversation
that
to be.
Didn't say anything.
Yo, they fucked up Redfall, and yo, they fucked up Halo Infinite, and guess what? They're gonna fuck up Starfield. They're gonna do this, and like, blah blah blah. Blah, blah, blah. Like, why would I be excited for the showcase? Those people will still be there, but to come out and take it on the chin and be like, "We did. We're working on it." And for Phil to even be like, "I know that like my words mean nothing. Mm-hmm. It's you having fun with the game. I know $70 is $70. Like, that goes so far to give confidence to people." I think, the thing about it for me, right, is obviously I've covered PlayStation my entire career. I'm firmly entrenched in that from a beat reporter perspective. That's why I feel like I stick around so much is that I host a PS I Love You show and yada, yada, yada. I still cheer for Xbox. I still love Phil. I still play my exclusives on Xbox. I played Redfall over there. I want Xbox to fucking crush. I want them to win. I want them to go. I want the dominoes to fall. And I think that if they went quiet right now and didn't say anything, I would not be like, it's over, but I would worry of like, that's really bizarre that they're not doing that when so far, their hallmark has been, hey, I'm failing, play games anywhere. Like, we're trying, we're working, we're bringing these people in to do the vision. I found so much comfort isn't the right word, but it's the only word I got right now in the interview of him being like, we've been trying to do a big game a quarter and I can see it right now. I can see it. Like, I feel like honestly, we're going to look back in 2 years and maybe even less, but probably maybe even more. You're going to look back though and be like, man, that Redfall was a really shitty thing to happen right there. I know I'm not even doing the domino analogy and the thing we've talked about. I feel like we're about to turn the corner. The way he talked about being able to see it, the way he talked about we were in early with Starfield and we were able to, the way they're getting the projects out that these were already going, they're not ours, but we're going to get them out there because the teams love them. I feel like we're about to turn that corner. And if we can get it to one a quarter, we have one great Xbox game, and maybe it's something as small as Hi-Fi Rush, maybe it's something as big as Starfield. I think that's really going to be like, we look back like, oh man, Redfall was the last like kink.
Redfall might be the last kink, or it might have been the first domino, right? When we brought up the list of upcoming titles, Forza still doesn't have a date, but we know that's next up. And then Starfield was Redfall, that first domino of one a quarter, where we would then flow into Forza, into Redfall, Hellblade 2, go on to Avowed, and we continue Starfield on, right? Like, is this going to be the one? And having that possibly be the first one at a major misstep really makes you reset the dominoes, unfortunately, which is too bad for them.
Nathan's other question here is about the review score stuff, too. Phil also mentioned that internal mock review scores double digits higher. Internal mock reviews scored double digits higher than where the actual aggregate sites like Metacritic and OpenCritic landed. So in your eyes, how does that process go? Too much bias on the part of internal reviewers, or potentially overlooking certain aspects of the game, which they maybe assumed would be polished before release? Sorry, minimal burp.
That might be it, Greg. I mean, this scored in the 60s, right? And I think some people could find that as a fine time in the 7s. Maybe they were looking at low 70s, right? Yeah. Then maybe that's what they thought where they were, right? Minecraft Legends just released. That was in the 70s. Maybe they thought they had just a middle-of-the-road game with this one, and they thought they were just going to drop it, get through, get by, right? And I think it did go poorly, and it was fundamentally wrong, right? When we talk about not the bugs, not the technical side, but the mission structure, the game itself is just not there, right? You had the idea, this beautiful open world was realized, right? Yeah. There was some cool concepts to it. But when we talk about the missions, you brought it up during our review, the fetch quest, right? All it was fetch quest. Every safe house was the exact same two missions every time. You had these awesome vampire god bosses that just turned out to be very generic boss fights, right? But in the viewer's eyes, maybe they found fun in that, or maybe they didn't give the real deal on that.
I think, you know, we'll never know because they won't be made public because they never are or anything like that. I think one of the things, Nathan, I want to make sure that we're being clear about and that I listened to the interview and I think you even mentioned one of the companies that does mock reviews, right? Internal reviews isn't like, and I shouldn't say isn't necessarily, hey, I'm Joe Blow from Xbox and I'm Major Nelson and I'm playing this and I'm writing a review about it, which I don't think Major Nelson does, but just, you know, Xbox employee. Internal reviews often are you hire an outside company, a person comes in, a freelancer does it, they review it, they give it to you, and that never sees the light of day, yada, yada, yada. So I don't want it to be like, well, this Xbox is reviewing their own games and they can't tell if they're good or bad. From my experience talking to people who do mock reviews, because a lot of our gaming press friends who would get laid off or move their careers or do whatever would end up doing that sometimes freelance, would end up doing that as a company or whatever. It's, you have to understand, even though you might think, wow, Redfall shipped as an incomplete game, the build these people are reviewing off of is so much more incomplete. Of animatic cutscenes, this, that, the other, things that jump you ahead, do this. It wasn't a review build, but I had the full build of Ghostbusters the video game for a debug PlayStation 3 because I knew I was such a fan. I don't think it was for a preview. I think it might have just been because they were like, we'd love you to play it earlier. Or maybe it was a preview. I guess I wouldn't have done feedback, whatever. I had a thing, and it got to a point where you're playing, and then it was like text on a screen of like, the Ghostbusters do this, and then this happens, then you get ported. Like, that's how loose some of these game builds are, depending on when you get to, when a mock reviewer would mock review them, right? And so I think you have to give benefit of the doubt so many times there. It's something I talked about with both our Survivor review for Jedi and the industries at large, is that I was heartened to see reviewers not give the benefit of the doubt to, oh, well, there's a day zero patch. So I won't mention the litany of bugs I had because they said they're going to fix them. We can't do that anymore. But mock reviews are, okay, well, yeah, I'm playing a very incomplete of the game. So is this actually a bug or is this something you're already working on? This isn't blah, 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 blah. I think there's that part of it. And then to step even further back, it's just the fact that I'm going to say Dead Island's 3 out of 5. Mike's going to say it's a 2 out of 5. Like, yep. Different people are different people.
I gave Redfall 3 out of 5. I thought it was an okay video game, right? So I'm right there in that 70 category, right? So they're looking at someone like me who's like, oh, he said it's a fine game. He gave it a 71, right? So now we're expecting that. But then the rest of the crew was like, no, actually, we didn't really like this game or vibe with it.
Well, I apologize. I accept your apology for being wrong about Dead Island 2.
Oh, yes. You know what I mean? Yes.
I went back and forth for a long time on that. Now I know I'm right. Number 2, as we continue on this Phil Spencer X-Cast litany of stories. Xbox did a better job with assisting Starfield development than Redfall. This is Matt Perslow over at IGN. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has offered some kind of reassurance to fans that Starfield will hopefully launch in a better state than this week's Xbox console exclusive Redfall, claiming that the publisher, quote, did a better job, end quote, in terms of assisting on development. Discussing the development of Redfall on a new episode of the Kinda Funny X-Cast, Spencer explained how acquisition of a studio that is midway through the development of a game, as he did with both Bethesda Game Studios and Arkane Austin, working on Starfield and Redfall respectively, can be a challenge, and that Xbox needs to improve its process. Quote, when we acquire studios, there are games that are in development, and then there's things that are either really early in development or not even conceived yet. I think we need to improve in engaging with games that are midway through production when they become part of Xbox. We didn't do a good job early on of engaging Arkane Austin to really help them understand what it meant to be part of Xbox and part of first party, and use some of our internal resources to help them move along that journey even faster. We left them to work on the game. According to Spencer, Xbox did a better job with Starfield because the game was earlier on in production. When Bethesda joined Microsoft, Redfall was further along in development, and so assistance was more difficult. Nonetheless, Spencer says, quote, we should have been there for Arkane Studio director Harvey Smith and the team earlier. I think that's on us. And then through the process. It's an Unreal game. We have a bunch of studios that have done some really great work on Unreal over the years, and I think we were too late to help in that when they had certain issues.
Yeah, this is what we talk about with failing forward, right? Yeah. Learning from your mistakes here. Of course, you come in with a very talented team over at Arkane, right? Arkane Austin, known for their games. I'm sure they looked at it and said, hey, great, you're working on a game. Get to it. We'll talk to you whenever you need us. Instead of, hey, you're part of the umbrella now. We have so many ways for us to help you. Is there anything that we can do? How do we get involved, right? Earlier on in that. And I think the big one here when we talk about failing forward is with this massive acquisition going down between Activision Blizzard King and this group here, now you need to prove to us with your first acquisition that you can do things right, right? And so I know Bethesda, we're already years into it. Maybe we're getting past that phase of, hey, most of these teams are already working on things. Wasn't our bad, right?
Yeah.
Now you got to prove to us on this next time around, hey, we're going to do much better. And the learning starts with Bethesda. Clearly, it didn't go as planned.
As you know, Mike, I consider myself a good interviewer. I say that because I've been talked to a few times by a few different dozen people saying I'm good at talking to people.
Oh, nice.
Doing stuff. You know what I mean? And I was as I mentioned earlier in the thing, the journalism thing and yada, yada, yada. And I think it makes me good. For me, I think there's always the hallmark of a good interviewer is asking the question that's on the audience's mind at the time. And my example always is Aaron Andrews. If you remember, it was after Seahawks 49ers playoff game, right? Crabtree and Richard Sherman got in a dust up. She was interviewing Richard Sherman. And he was on another one where he was so mad. He's like, you want to cover my legs? Don't cover my legs. Yeah. He was, and I'm on a plane watching this and I go, who is he talking about? And Aaron Andrews goes, who are you talking about? And he goes, Crabtree. And I was like, wow, Aaron Andrews just fucking crushed it. You did the hallmark of a great reporter.
Yeah.
Where I didn't even think about the question. You were talking about all the stuff, going back and forth, blah, 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 and you immediately pivoted and spiked the ball back at Phil, not in an aggressive way, but it was, we know 30 and 60 is important. You're going to say this about Starfield now? We're going to have a message about Starfield? And he said, yeah. And I was like, damn. If I would have been in your seat, I never would have thought to ask that. I never would have thought to ask that. And
thanks,
I think that,
Greg.
You know, all three of you were on point for this interview. You know, I thought, even Gary. Because even when you introduced Gary, he did a whole rant about Juvie. I was like, glad this is still Gary Whitta. But all three of you had great, insightful questions. You know, Paris did such a great job of like, hey, we're saying all this stuff, but to look back, the 12 months thing, right? And he tried to soften it too, where he's like, I forget what it was, like, arguably. And Phil's like, no, there's no argument. We didn't do it.
We didn't do it.
I was like, fuck, yeah. Like, this is another great example of you, and I'm surprised I didn't get called out here, of like you being like, yo, this is a fun show and we love Xbox, but are you learning and are you in this very specific case going to say a frame rate for this game and nail it?
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate that. And yeah, I think that's one of those of me learning, interviewing and my style, right? Of do I look at Phil and go, hey, you want to tell me right now, is this going to be 30 or 60? Or hey, when it is the time and the place, are you and Todd going to show me and the Xbox fans what we want? Because this conversation came up long before Redfall. This happened last summer when we first saw Starfield and people questioned, man, is Bethesda going to come out with another buggy mess? Is Bethesda going to come out with a next-gen title that's going to hit the frame rates that the players want? And this has been on our minds. Like you said, right, asking what the people want. I've known that we all want to know where Starfield's going to fall. And I've said it before, Starfield must be a game of the generation. And now there's even more pressure on Starfield to deliver and pretty much save this year for Xbox, right? Because it has been a tough year. It's been a tough 2 years if we really want to go back to it. But I mean, another one, I think it was, hey, Phil, just tell me, are we going to get this clear as day, right? Like, that's all I want to know. Yeah. I'll let you and the team announce it where you want to be, but I didn't know if I was supposed to look at it and be like, say it right now here, you know what I mean?
When I talked to you after it, I did mention that to you, and you made the point of like, and I wasn't aggressive about it. I was like, oh, man, you would have gotten that answer of like, well, we're doing a Starfield Direct.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Starfield. That's not what today's about. And so I think you did it the right way and got the right information out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to look forward to. We all have that on our minds. And yeah, you would learn from your mistakes. And I can guarantee you that I'm sure, like Phil answered, right, they're going to clear as day come out and say, this has 60 frames per second on this setting, or, hey, we're at 30 frames. Like, they're going to have to break that news because it's on every gamer's mind right now.
It's going real fast in the chat because you're all being so supportive, and we love you for that. Remember, of course, we'll be doing Super Chat Q&A at the end of this episode. But Parks went by with a question that's very much like Nano's. So I'm going to write, Nano wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, to be part of the show, and says, hi, y'all, or hey, y'all. With all the talk about Redfall, why is the number one point that Xbox is a failure? During XCast today, many of Xbox's games were covered and are showing that Xbox has been low-key firing on most cylinders, with Redfall feeling like a misstep. Just since last December, we've gotten Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, Grounded 1.0, Minecraft Legends, and Age of Empires 2 DLC, which were all received quite well. Is the issue Xbox's major hits are coming from more niche games? Why is one, albeit big, misfire in the past year from Xbox being dragged through the streets more than any other company?
I mean, you and I have talked about it for quite some time. I think it's the Xbox community and fans looking for the major AAA title, right? We have been pleased with the passion projects. They have shown that they are giving the time and the creativity to all the studios that they have, and we've celebrated those games, right? But none of them fill in the gaps that we're looking for when it comes to major AAA titles. Why are you buying this console as the exclusive machine, right? Right now, you can look over on the other side, you can look anywhere and go, I can play 90% of these games anywhere else, and now with Game Pass, with what they're really doing, right? And I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit, of consoles, right? Their goal now is just to get you anywhere you're at.
Yeah.
So how are you selling me on getting the most powerful console? What is the reasoning, right? And so, in my opinion, I talked about it last summer, right? I wasn't impressed with this year. I'm glad that Phil thinks it was a solid start to the year, right? Age was great. Hi-Fi Rush was good, right? I didn't find the love of Minecraft Legends. I think that was a very niche move there to choose that over like a Dungeons that was more widespread of more people could adapt onto that. But I think they are still missing the mark on the games that they need to deliver.
Yeah, you nail it. I mean, I can double down and say more of the same thing. But yeah, it's the fact that, as I've said many times, citing our own reviews or metrics or whatever, and stick with me because it's going to sound way worse than it is. Because I remember everybody, unless you're new here, hey, I'm Greg, and I fucking love indies, and I love weird shit, and I love a teenage girl's narrative making me cry.
Yes.
The overwhelming majority of gamers do not care about indie titles. They do not play them. They do not move the needle. And so when you go to Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, Grounded 1.0, Minecraft Legends, Age of Empires 2, yes, these are all too niche. Xbox fans, like you're saying, were sold that this is the most powerful console on the market. Mm-hmm. We have all these first parties, which immediately meant, not that, even put aside console wars of it, I think so many people that spoke as, we are finally going to get something exclusively that is on par with what PlayStation is doing with their first party studios, mm-hmm. with The Last of Us, with Ghost, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? As you talk about banger and banger and banger and, you know, God of War and Game of the Year and narrative and this stuff, the other. Whereas these games, which are way smaller, often on other platforms, you know, all these other things, just doesn't speak that way to it. You know what I mean? It's back to the PC gaming argument of like, PC's got everything, so it's awesome. But it's like, well, does it have this thing or that thing and the easy use and blah, blah, blah. It's like, back to it of like, you're trying to talk about like, even if it's not a console war, if it is just that you have a lineage with Xbox, a lineage with PlayStation, you want cool shit on there, right? You want to make a part of it, and you want to be mainstream. The Xbox console being on sale in Walmart is mainstream. So people buy that. Maybe they just want Madden. Maybe they just want Assassin's Creed. But they want those big mainstream titles, those big AAA titles.
And we've been sold on that, Greg. That's the issue that we have, again, is showing too early and then not talking about them for years to come, right? Yeah. We were sold on, of course, Halo, Gears, and Forza. Those have been the mainstays. But you purchase ZeniMax and Bethesda. Now we go, oh my God, machine games, id Software, Bethesda, they're going to make all these games, right? Where is the next Wolfenstein? Where is the next Doom that is supposed to come over onto this team or elevate just the games that we've gotten before, right? And we haven't seen that yet. We've been sold on the pipe dream that is Fable, Avowed, Perfect Dark, Everwild, right? But we still don't know what they are, when they're dated, what they look like, right? We've seen CGI trailers of many of these games, but we've never seen gameplay. We just continue to stay in this waiting cycle, and I think that's the issue is, you talk about celebrating the games that we have, that's great, but we have been sold on games that we should have or should be having, and we still are waiting for them years later on why I spent $500 on a brand new console, right? Of 3 years ago, we were sold on this dream. We haven't hit that in 3 years since this console has come out. And that's been a long time to speak of when you could easily go buy a PlayStation. And over those course of 3 years, they've had way better exclusive, way bigger AAA titles hit that thing that I should be playing over here.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's a banner day for Kinda Funny because Mike and his team killed it, crushed it, and had an amazing interview, and we're getting shared all around. But remember, tomorrow, we'll be back to the normal views. We'll be back to just making content for you. And the people we make the content for are mainly over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. You keep the lights and mics on. You let the 11 of us live our dream each and every day. You've made this amazing spare bedroom studio a reality, and we can't thank you enough. Of course, over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get dozens of exclusive episodes, exclusive merch. You can watch us record the podcast like PS I Love You XOXO live this afternoon later. But right now, the most important thing is you can go there to get this show ad-free. But since you're not there, here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as the Honey guy dances. It searches for coupons it can find for the site. And if it finds a working coupon, you will watch the prices drop. We hear it kind of Funny, you've been using Honey for years, and it has literally saved us thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to set, forget, and save. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it also works on your iPhone. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, save on the go. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. By getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kinda Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
Number three on the Roper Report, Microsoft's Xbox chief thinks losing the Xbox One generation was, quote, the worst generation to lose. This is Tom Warren at The Verge. It's been a rough couple of weeks for Xbox that's had fans questioning the state of Microsoft's console gaming business. First, there was the news of a 30% drop in Xbox hardware revenue, followed by the CMA's decision to block Microsoft's giant $68.7 billion acquisition of Activision Blizzard, and topped off by Redfall launching earlier this week to a very lukewarm reception. When you combine all this with a quiet year of Xbox releases in 2022, Xbox fans are wondering when Microsoft is going to deliver a slew of AAA games like we saw with the Xbox 360 generation. Quote, "We're not in the business of out-consoling Sony or out-consoling Nintendo," says Xbox chief Phil Spencer in an interview with Kinda Funny Games. He continues, quote, "I see the commentary that if you just build great games, everything will turn around. It's just not true that if we go off and build great games, all of a sudden you're going to see console share shift in some dramatic way. We lost the worst generation to lose in the Xbox One generation, where everybody built their digital library of games. We want our Xbox community to feel awesome. But this idea that if we just focused more on great games on our console, that somehow people are going to win the console race doesn't really lay into what people into the reality of most people. There is no world where Starfield is an 11 out of 10 and people start selling their PS5s. That's not going to happen, end quote.
Greg, this was a wild moment. This was one of those moments where
there was he said they were third place.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was like, damn.
That was a wild one because, like, it's so true, and it's eye-opening to think about because I've never thought about that. But, yeah, when we all started building our digital library was during that age right there. And that's where you kind of cemented yourself because, perfect example, now I have hundreds of games that I have purchased with my hard-earned money over on the Xbox platform. It is very difficult, the idea of thinking, I'm going to throw all that away or move on to something different and leave those behind, right? We're in this new age where things are being carried with you. You own them now. And it's not as simple as just take this and put it in the game disc anymore. It is, oh, that is mine, and I own that. And carrying it over, they lost that generation massively. And now we're here where it's like, oh, yeah, that you're way far behind now, which is tough to think about.
Yeah, you know, he talked to around these quotes a lot that I enjoyed where he was talking about, yeah, the days of, you know, buying the new console and starting fresh, like with your SNES or Genesis or whatever, are gone, right? There was also the point of, like, you know, he's talking about the fact that games like Fortnite and Roblox, you know, they continue on from last generation. So even that it is, okay, cool, your backlog's there, is whatever, blah, blah. It is also this thing of just sticking with the same experiences and the same things. And, like, yeah, of course, as we've gotten used to a, you know, PlayStation 4 Pro, you know, these iterative consoles, even the PS5, even the Xbox Series X, like, they're just iterations on what you already had as you expand the platform. And I thought it was fascinating to hear, let alone directly call out, right, the fact that it was like, oh, yeah, this was the worst generation to lose. I was like, damn, yeah, I guess I never thought of it that way in terms of, like, it was everybody was starting to go. And, again, you talk about the difference in messaging of PlayStation 4 versus Xbox when it launched there, right? And it was the PS4, here's how you share games, used games, yada, yada, yada. And that won a lot of people and a lot of mind share and got them to a specific spot.
Yeah, it was that was a very wild quote, especially because that came off the back of, hey, a lot of the Xbox console best friends out there and community are feeling like second-rate citizens, right? They feel like you have moved on to an ecosystem where PC is at the forefront, cloud gaming, and do we still have faith that you want to continue to make these consoles, right? Why am I still here if I could be worried that you could say, hey, we're not in the console market anymore. You can just play the game off the television, right? And so now you start to worry, what are we still doing here, right? And they lost the biggest generation, like you said, because now, when you look at it, I could still have my PlayStation with that big library. I'll give you $15 a month, and I'll just play on my television through the cloud if I want to play some sort of exclusive. Yeah. What's the reason for doing this?
Yeah.
Paris Lilly has joined my co-host on the Kind of Funny XCast. I know he wants to chime in the fun.
It's like you guys just won the championship last night, and now you're back at school. You're all back at school, coming into your varsity jackets. Paris, great work yesterday.
Oh, thank you. And hearing what you're just saying right now, I think that was the one thing that I wish we had more time to follow up on, because I even had it written down that I hear a lot of people think that the console player is now second-class citizen for Xbox, and they're moving on to cloud and PC and, you know, these other handheld devices. It's no longer about the console. Clearly, that's not the case. We know that's not the case. There's no way they're abandoning what is their biggest market. And I think Phil was just being honest when he talked about, look, if Starfield could be an 11 out of 10, and that's not going to allow them to catch up with PlayStation in this generation because they did so much damage in the past generation, and that was the start of the digital age, to everything that Mike was just talking about, as far as if I already have so many of my games invested into this ecosystem, I'm not going to abandon that anytime soon. And I think, I forget who said this on Twitter, I saw it this morning, but the whole point that Microsoft, that Xbox needs to do, don't worry about the competition. Don't worry about how many hardware sales that they have right now. Make great games.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. It's that simple. Make great games. Starfield, be great. Hellblade 2, be great. Avowed, be great. Fable, be great. Perfect Dark, be great. If you get, because here's the difference between Xbox and PlayStation right now. PlayStation has been consistent since about 2014 with their titles, where I know every year I can expect something pretty darn good from PlayStation. Xbox has not done that. And we thought this was the generation that was going to start doing that. And here we are 3 years in, and we got Redfall. Can't do that. you cannot say here's the starting point of us charging you $70 for our next gen only games and we give you Redfall. They would have been better off delaying that game to 2024 versus putting it out right now. They'd have been better off taking the heat of another delay and having Starfield, assuming it's great, be the first great next gen only $70 game for them versus it being Redfall. Because now we got the podcast that we got yesterday, where instead of us having a fun conversation about Xbox and its future, we had to talk about the mistakes of what Redfall was. And that's just unfortunate.
100%. Paris, I want you to stick around because story number four quotes you. Number four on the Roper Report. Xbox didn't deliver on 2022 showcase, but Phil Spencer is enthusiastic about this year's. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has stated that the company failed to deliver on what it showed during last year's showcase presentation, but says he's, quote, very enthusiastic about this year's show. Speaking to Kinda Funny Games' XCast podcast, Spencer was asked by Paris Lilly about the previous Xbox showcase, which took place in June 2022. Quote, last year, during the showcase, you had the 12-month plan, Lilly said. You didn't necessarily deliver on all the games, then interrupts. No, we didn't deliver, Phil interrupts. There is no necessarily. We didn't deliver. Spencer was then given a list of upcoming games that Lilly said players still didn't know much about despite having been announced long ago, including Avowed, Perfect Dark, Everwild, Fable, State of Decay 3, and Contraband. Going on to discuss this year's showcase, Spencer said, quote, I'm not going to try to oversell Showcase here because if I was on the other side watching this, it's like, hey, after Redfall, I'm going to put my hands on the controller and that's what's going to take, what it's going to take to prove to me. But that's not what Showcase is. So I'm very enthusiastic about Showcase. We're going to announce some things that people haven't seen, some new games, and we're going to give updates to some things that were on your list. Phil added, the other thing that gets me really excited is when I look forward over the next quarters, which has always been my focus. How do we have a big game out every quarter at quality? That things are lining up finally after some of the slowdown through COVID. Tired of talking about that, but I can now see that we've got games coming every quarter that I think will surprise and delight our customers. We still have to deliver on the creative. We still have to deliver on the technical. Not every game we ship is for everybody. We know that. I'm not trying to build the one game to rule them all. We will have different creative takes, and we have a very diverse portfolio. When you think about the stuff Microsoft Game Studios builds, and I like that, I think for what we're trying to do as Xbox, which isn't mimic any of the other platforms out there, is to create our own brand and identify the diversity of what we build, which hopefully will end up being a strength. But we have to do it at quality. We have to do it on time, and we have to show people what they're actually going to see. We have to show gameplay, and I think I'm kind of beyond that. We have to put great games in the hands of our players. There's nothing else, end quote. Paris, a great question from you and a great line of topic there. And I know, again, I talked to Mike earlier in the show. I don't know if you got to catch it because you have a real job, but
yeah,
again.
Yeah, I was doing my real job of giving a presentation to the entire company.
I know that pit in your stomach when you want to ask a serious question to somebody who's not in a great mood and anything else. You did a great job of delivering this.
No, I appreciate that. And that actually was one of the more important questions that I wanted to ask him. I had written down because that's been the common theme throughout the Xbox community. When are you going to start delivering? And again, kudos to you when you had Matt Booty on, because it was on Kinda Funny where Matt Booty said, we want to give you game every quarter. And then Phil obviously repeated that. And obviously they need to stick to it. And a part of my question was, and I think it was a follow-up to what he said, is forget Activision. You have 20-something studios at this point, and we know so little about
what they're doing,
when we can expect these games. You did this great announcement in 2020 of all these games, which, hey, we all loved, but here we are 3 years later. I still don't know what the hell Everwild is. What is it? I don't know. And they got to start answering those kind of questions. Even if the game is still 2-3 years out, that's fine. Start giving us updates to them. Start communicating more. And to the point that I also made to him, I thought in 2021 they did a fantastic job with that. I thought Xbox was really on it in 2021 with communicating and kind of showing a roadmap. If you think about what they've done this generation, 2021 was their best year. You had Psychonauts 2, Forza Horizon 5 as examples, right?
Sure.
We got to get back to that. We got to get back to that plus. We got to hit that rotation of games that they're talking about. We got to start seeing that stuff from Xbox. And to Phil's point, they got to come in quality. They just have to. And it's not like even Starfield as an example. Starfield is not going to be for everybody. That's okay. But Starfield still needs to be, from a technical standpoint, from a quality standpoint, top tier. It just has to be. Anything less than that, what the hell are we doing? You know, and I think they obviously understand that. And I think the good thing that's going to come out of this whole Redfall scenario is it's going to make them look internally and audit their own processes 100%. To make them better. 100%. That's what's going to happen. And that's a good thing for us as gamers, because I do think, and I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but I do think the past few years, we've seen so many games come out either feature incomplete, tech-wise incomplete. There's issues with it. I'm tired of that. Don't ship it. We couldn't do that back in 1990 with Mario 3. Mario 3 had to be good and ready to go. So why are we doing that now? And I understand it's more complicated now, but still, delay it if you have to. But these games cannot continue to ship this way. It's just, it's unacceptable, especially the amount of money that we're spending.
Yeah. Agreed. And we've talked about the showcase. This is another major one, and it's wild. Every year we come to this saying, this is the one. This is a major one that can't make us wait any longer. And I think Xbox over these past 4+ years have now really listened to the community and taken that, right? It was, hey, we're sick of you showing and not telling. Hey, we're sick of CGI trailers. And then they finally got to the point of, all right, hey, we're going to show you gameplay. We want to do this 12-month roadmap. It didn't work, right? And I go back to Phil of like, we can do this showcase. I can promise you the world. But until you get that controller in your hand, have we done our job yet, right? And I think still in June, we have another issue where I don't have a controller in my hand. Right? Yeah. That's my problem here is we're going to see these games, and all I still know is Forza and, of course, Starfield at the end of the year. Is there something more to fill out this year? Is there something right now for Xbox gamers to get excited about? Because if not, it's going to be another one where it's, hey, here's Fable gameplay finally, but that's 2024, 2025. And I go, oh, I'm still left waiting. And I think that's going to be the biggest uphill battle that they have to do here in June. And I think it still won't be enough for the Xbox community, unfortunately.
You know what needs to happen? And in a weird way, this is kind of important. Think about the Game Awards last year. They didn't have anything to show. I want them to have things to show at the Game Awards. I want them to be proud and excited to show off this new thing with Jeff Keighley at the Game Awards, because that would mean we got Starfield, which came in great. We got Forza, which came in great. Assuming Hellblade 2 is the other thing that's going to drop this year, comes in great. Then, hey, here's what we're getting in early 2024 from Xbox. Start hitting that consistent rotation of games. No one's complaining. End of the day, you give us great games, none of this is happening. We're playing games. We're having fun. We're not sitting here talking about technical issues and quality control and, man, when are they going to talk about this game again? Instead, you're playing games because you're consistently getting them. And Phil clearly knows that, because that's why he said what he said yesterday. It's that simple. I mean, we obviously do an Xbox podcast. I'm obviously a huge fan of Xbox and everything that they're trying to do. But now we're at a point that they have to deliver it. I mean, it's as simple as that.
And I want to build off of what Parrish said. This team is finding a good rhythm, right? Like, we need to celebrate the Developer Direct. Of course, the Xbox Wire is always bumping with all the news, right? This team is starting to figure out, how do we get in front of the messaging? How do we keep our players informed? And Parrish is right. Like, we're just missing that one extra piece, right? There's something in there that we can deliver on and keep people informed and keep them satisfied until the next one, right? And that line of dominoes is starting to line up. It needs to be pushed, and it needs to deliver that one per quarter. But, like, we're just missing one extra piece on the communication side, in my opinion, that should be there. Developer Direct, nice touch right there. Big June Showcase, always a fun time, right? Xbox Wire, you're doing your thing on the blog. What is that one more thing? And I think it is someone going around, seeing these developers, having a 15-minute interview, showing us behind the curtain, right? People get geeked up and excited about that. Hey, this is where we're at right now with Fable. We're showing this off.
Pull it back even further. Pull the curtain
just
even
further. Something, right? We had that with Inside Xbox.
You need a Goodwill tour. That's what you're talking about, right? Because, again, if these games aren't going to be ready right away, which they're not going to be, because that's not how games work, the problem is you've burned Goodwill so far. And all the words and all that stuff can be fun, but if it is just more teaser trailers with nothing on it, you have to work that message. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Parrish, you did great work. Thank you so much for joining us and popping in today.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Parrish.
Caught it at the back end. Talk to you soon.
Anytime. Everybody go listen to the XCast, of course. Fifth story, of course, is Phil Spencer reacting to the UK blocking the Activision Microsoft deal and discussing next steps. We had Eddie's GameSpot story here. but we kind of talked about it already, and we're late in the show, so I will just encourage you to go listen to the X-Men.
Yeah, a very interesting one. You can tell he is, of course, frustrated and down on that one. They worked very hard to battle the Call of Duty this, Call of Duty that.
And that was the Cloud.
That was the one, and then they hit him with the Cloud, and you could hear, right, like, this is still a very new area of gaming and tech, and they are one of the people at the forefront, and they feel like they were really hit hard by this of saying, oh, you're going to monopolize this or take it over, when no one's really in this field yet. You can hear it in his voice. He's not pleased with that. So good for them for continuing to fight that, and we'll see how much longer that lasts. I mean, we're 18 months into that. That's wild.
It's a big deal. Right? It's a big acquisition.
That's crazy.
But yeah, for the UK to be up, bent out of shape about the Cloud stuff, and him to be like, well, they're mad in a thing that doesn't even exist yet, I imagine their appeal they'll be able to win out on, but we will wait and see. Number six and final on the rope report for your Thursday is not from Kind of Funny XCast. Unity lays off 600 more employees, closing half of its offices. This is Brendan Sinclair over at gamesindustry.biz. Unity is cutting another 600 employees from in its third round of layoffs in less than a year, the Wall Street Journal reported today. The cuts equal about 8% of the company's headcount and will leave it with roughly 7,000 employees worldwide. Additionally, Unity is looking to reduce its physical footprint, cutting down its current 58 offices worldwide to fewer than 30 over the coming years. Quote, it's all about setting ourselves up for higher growth, Unity CEO John Riccitiello told the outlet, saying the cuts will look to reduce the number of middle management layers in the organization.
That's too bad.
But don't worry, it's not a recession. Just economic headwinds really making their way through here and making some bold changes. We will continue to watch as Unity does their thing. And, of course, as layoffs continue to affect video games and gaming-adjacent industries. But the next economic headwind is so far away, Mike. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom-and-grop shops. Where would I go?
Greg, I would point you in the direction of the upcoming games and software listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Ravenlock is out on all the Xboxes and PC. Mm-hmm. Rejected Rivals Early Access is on PC. Space Gladiators is on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Bare Butt Boxing Early Access is on PC. Cuckoo! Ancient Seal is on Early Access on PC. Mia and the Dragon Princess is on everything, including mobile. Propagation Paradise Hotel is on PC and MetaQuest. And then the Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan, is on Switch. They put the worst one on
Switch. That was unfortunately the worst one out of them, yep.
New dates for ya! Crime and Mercenary Tales delivers comic book-styled adventure to MetaQuest 2 and Pico on May 25th. Fall of Porcupine comes June 15th for all the Xboxes, all the PlayStation, Switch, and PC. The Tartarus Key launches May 31st for all the Xboxes, PS4, and Switch, and PC. Then deals of the day for you. Apple Arcade adds 20 new games with 4 new originals. What the Car, TMNT, Splintered Fate, Disney Spielstruck. Is that Speedstruck, you think, or is it Spielstruck?
Haven't heard of
that
one.
Is that a typo, you think?
I think that's
Skitty,
a typo.
Skitty Cityscapes Sim Builder. Of course, you can go with the list of the other 16 games, I guess, on any of your Apple Arcade podcast services. We ask people, of course, to write in to be part of the show at kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where you can write in with your questions, comments, concerns, but more importantly, your squad up requests. Today, Blinky Bops needs help. On PlayStation, you can hit him up at Blinky Bops. Blinky Bops. BLINKIEBOPS. At the moment, I only play first-person shooter multiplayer games. I would love to branch out into looter shooters or story-driven games. I've tried to play these types of games in the past, but no games have held my ADHD brain held my ADHD brain hostage. Would love to have someone to play through some co-op games of that nature. If you would like to help Blinky Bops, get a Blinky Bops.
Blinky Bop Bop Bops.
We ask people watching live to correct us on you're wrong, but since we only quoted ourselves, we weren't wrong. Oh, no, here we go. Nano has one. It's Disney Spellstruck.
Oh.
It's Disney Words with Friends, basically. Blessing. Get your head out of your ass. Thank you, Nano. Mike, believe it or not, the week isn't over.
Nope.
Tomorrow is Friday, another weekday, meaning you'll get another episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. It will be Tim and Blessing hosting the show for you. But let me tell you, you are not leaving us yet, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, on this very show, if you're watching on YouTube live, Twitch live, or YouTube later, we're going to do our little post show until 11:30, where we go through the super chats on YouTube, answer some questions. Then after that, KFW, Kinda Mania, the season finale is popping off, 4 amazing matches, and then if that wasn't enough, four amazing matches on May the 4th, we're doing a bunch of Star Wars stuff.
Kind of a TIE fighter, Greg. TIE fighter.
Yip-cha.
There it is. There it is. We'll see you in a bit. Well, we got to do the Q&A thing first. But
and then the KFW girl. Thing.
And then KFW.
You guys got the costumes real early.
Feeling so good.
Damn,
I can't wait
time
for
to, like, go run errands.
If you want to see these morons celebrate Star Wars Day with Kev2D2, you can catch it on live, twitch.tv/KenobiKenobi.
Yeah,
no, and Mike Baca, the
Wookiee. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You can catch it live on YouTube. What is this shit now? What the fuck is
bring
this?
Bring it in. Bring it in. Oh my God! It's a TIE fighter. Watch out! I'm in the. Greg, red leader, watch out behind you!
YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Later, if you're not watching live, you can catch it there as one of our streams.
Nick forgot his
possibly the most serious day of
I think it's gonna be
kind
a fun
funny
time.
Journalism ever ends with this.
Nick lost his.
Now there's just an RC car driving in. What does this have to do with it?
Well, this kept 2D2. That's one of the games we're going to play today. On
Nick
stream.
Was like, man, I lost my Kylo Ren wig. And we looked, he just has a mullet. It's just a black mullet.
I found this in an A's hat. I don't know what the costume
oh,
was.
Yes. There we go.
Oh, you stole one of the Bash Brothers.
We have a costume closet now.
Same thing.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Red band around it, I'm Rambo.
We couldn't do this without you on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or patreon.com/kindoffunny. Thank you for your support. Go there to get this show ad-free. Go there to watch the PS I Love You XOXO show recorded today. Go there to support Nick's wig habit, all right?
Oh, yeah.
But until next I forgot you're doing something else. I thought you were going. I was like, what now? Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.